America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you missed it, by the way, the Sabres game appears to be on again.
Super duper.
If you want to relive it or just watch it for the first time, maybe you don't know what happened, you just tuned in. There it is over there on MSG. Sal Capaccio joins us now. The Bills on their way tomorrow to Houston. The rare 1 p.m. Sunday kickoff here for the Bills in week five. And like we've talked about this week and with our guest Sam Paniatovich earlier, from BetQL, the line is kind of ping-pong back and forth, a point either way, but considered pretty much an even matchup here, Bills and Texans. Sal, I know this morning you and we all together found out the Bills have a couple of other key injury losses here now with Ed Oliver. We talked about him yesterday getting hurt in practice. Khalil Shakir out all week and also ruled out for this game on Sunday. I asked Bulldog earlier, how about you? Which loss is bigger?
I would say Khalil Shakir. Ed Oliver is a really disruptive force sometimes in the middle of the defense, but he's a rotational player. He plays a lot, and this is not the Baltimore Ravens. This is a team that actually has struggled a little bit to run the ball. What you're missing from Ed Oliver, not having him, is interior penetration. But I think Khalil Shakir, you only have five healthy receivers, and there's questions already right now on those guys and getting separation and catching the ball and distribution, and now you're missing your number one. I mean, that's your number one wide receiver right now. You're out. So I think Khalil Shakir is a bigger deal.
I think, yeah, that was my answer too, Sal, especially considering Houston's, I see a team that I believe can be exploited down the field. And so losing Shakir, I think, is going to really sting and could even, you know, hamper that. The other part about Oliver, though, is that they're already down Austin Johnson too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's
that's true.
Another,
I mean, if you take the sum of everything, I would think, and Von Miller, obviously, right?
Right, on the edge. Sure.
So, I mean, if you take the sum of the position, obviously the trickle-down effect, like losing at Oliver, just compounds a problem. But individually, I think that losing Khalil Shakir, but positionally too, guys. I mean, look, but you can also, they signed Zion Logue. I don't know what he can bring to you, if he's going to be active or not. They can elevate Ilyanku or Branson Dean. I mean, these guys are, you know, bigger bodies that can help out a little bit, and they have some experience playing in the NFL. Cameron Klein, obviously, or Kingsley Jonathan, guys like that, you know, can come up.
Yep.
I mean, you could elevate KJ Hamler. You could elevate Tyrell Shavers. I think that, you know, the drop off to what you're getting to the next guy from Khalil Shakir is a little bit more of a question mark overall. Although, one for one, it might just be Curtis Samuel for Shakir, but then what happens in what Samuel would normally do? You know what
right,
I mean?
Sure. There's got to be some kind of trickle down there. Yeah, maybe this ends up being the game where we go, thank God they signed Curtis Samuel, because so far this year it's been, you know, really not much at all so far. I'd say almost shockingly so.
Yeah, in fact, Sean McDermott said something like that. I read earlier, it was on Catherine Fitzgerald of the Buffalo News on her Twitter, and she had the quote. Let me read it, because after he did his radio appearance with me on the Extra Point show, he then meets with the Buffalo local media, and she wrote, on Khalil Shakir's injury, Sean McDermott said, quote, "We're thankful we have Curtis."
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. That's a pretty interesting quote right there from the head coach.
Let me hop back to the defensive tackle position, because Dwayne Carter, third-round pick.
The Chiefs trade.
Yeah. How has that gone so far? Really, the only time I noticed him so far this year, and, you know, I'm not one of these film breakdown guys, okay, but just watching the games, was him sort of, in my view, maybe celebrating a little too much about making a tackle against Baltimore when the game was already pretty out of hand. I saw, like, somebody sort of celebrating a tackle down close to the goal line. Like, who's that? Calm down. Oh, the rookie. That doesn't have to stick to him, but I didn't like it. What do you think they have in that player, and what has he shown you, if anything, so far this year?
Yeah, he's only played 31% of the defensive snaps, so he hasn't been in all that much. But, you know, again, a rotational piece that they use. Hasn't really flashed that much for me necessarily, but he did, except for that one play, like you said. And I noticed he celebrated. I mean, you know, he's a rookie. He just made a big play in a Sunday night national TV game, so I guess the juices are flowing. I totally understand, you know, maybe a little bit excessive considering the score at the time or what was going on. This is a guy, I think, to me, he's going to play a long time in this league. I think he's got kind of the tools. His floor is pretty high. I don't know how high his ceiling, though, is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how productive he's going to be when you look at the end of the day on the stat sheet. He's not going to jump off necessarily, but he's probably going to be a solid producer who you can rely on to do the job. Last week, someone, you know, tweeted at me how undersized he is. And I went and looked and said, he's not really. I mean, he's probably, you know, undersized for an average defensive tackle. He is shorter than what you'd probably want. I mean, he's 6'2". A lot of times your D tackles are 6'3", 6'4". But Ed Oliver's even, you know, not even that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's over 300 pounds. And really, I mean, in today's NFL, you're going to have a lot of bigger guys, but they're going to be kind of situational guys. Really, a lot of the linemen you're seeing now, defensive linemen, a little bit more of an undersized athletic type, which we've talked about is maybe one of the reasons why, you know, teams are running a little bit more these days as well. So I don't think he's super undersized. I mean, he's a little bit shorter, like I said,
mm-hmm.
and I think that he's got to use that to his advantage. But this is a team, again, this is not the Baltimore Ravens. They're not going to just body you up and try to bully you. This is a team that maybe a Dwayne Carter could have a little bit more of an impact against.
I want to get back to some of these individual situations the Bills have, but since you said that, Sal, what are the Texans then? I mean, they're definitely hyped. Stroud was phenomenal, and Collins leads the league in receiving yards. Diggs is Diggs. There is a lot to like about the Texans, but how high is the ceiling for you? How good a team is this?
They're not as good as I thought they'd be right now. I thought they'd be a lot better. I mean, I shouldn't say it. They're 3-1, right? I had a lot of, like, oh, my God, the Texans are going to be a real problem in the AFC for a while after last mm-hmm. year and most of last year. I just think C.J. Stroud is fantastic, and I still do think that. But, you know, if you go back and look at some of the games last year, I think that, you know, their schedule was not quite as tough. They struggled a couple of times and had a nice couple of wins at ends of games. Even this year, they go to Minnesota and just get absolutely pounded. And there's been last week against Jacksonville, they really just let the Jags hang around and almost lost that game at the end. So I think there's some flaws there. I just can't pick up heart like, oh my God, they're really bad here. It seems like they have a nice roster. They've done a really good job with the front seven to kind of rebuild that after being really bad there for a couple of years. And Will Anderson Jr. comes over and Danielle Hunter, you know, gets signed as a free agent. Obviously, they have a lot of weapons, right? We know that. But it seems like they're a team that's, last year, maybe, you know, pushing the ball down the field, some big plays. They've done that a couple times this year, but now it seems like it's just more of a grind it, you know, get there and try and score, and then they're really kind of, you know, it reminds me of last year a lot with the Bills guys, how the Bills would move the ball, and then something bad would happen. They'd have a penalty, they'd have a turnover, they'd have a sack, and that's kind of what has happened here with the Texans a little bit on offense.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how they how this matchup unfolds, Sal, because the Bills have been so good. They're, the outside corners here, Benford and Douglas, have been excellent. Mm-hmm. You know, big plays down the field is, you know, the Bills' expertise is taking those away. So, you know, but the middle could be dicey, and maybe that's where Diggs comes in. He's worked a lot in the slot so far for Houston. So, like you're saying, kind of more dink and dunk than down the field. And maybe that'll be available to them with the Bills still compromised to some extent in the middle, although, I don't know, I guess we can get to Bernard and Taron Johnson here and how optimistic we should be here 2 days out for either of them to play. I mean, they could be big difference makers if, you know, fit.
I am as or more optimistic on Terrell Bernard. I don't know if I could get any more. I kind of believed all week he's going to play, so I don't know if you can get more optimistic than that. I'd be surprised if he didn't play, I guess, really surprised. I'm more optimistic on Taron Johnson after today than I had been all week. I really thought that it was going to be, okay, you know, we're going to hear on Friday that he's not going to play like they did with Terrell Bernard last week. That wasn't the case. He's questionable. He truly is, you know, it's possible that he could play, and we'll see what they decide to do there. So, yeah, I mean, even getting just Terrell Bernard back would be a really big boost for this defense in the middle of the defense. And, you know, Bill Inspector made a few nice plays. He's, you know, he had the sack of Lamar Jackson. But the offense, the defense is just different with Terrell Bernard, because when you have that one piece in the middle that is high IQ, captain, as good as he is at both the run game and, you know, coverage, it just lets everybody else kind of settle into their roles better, right? And we've talked about, and I have, how that's not Bill Inspector. Bill Inspector is he's almost more of a throwback traditional middle linebacker, mm-hmm. right? Like, he has some athleticism. He's not Terrell Bernard. He's a go straight ahead, more make the tackle kind of guy, more of a throwback kind of guy. That is also a little bit what Dorian Williams is, but Dorian Williams is super fast. He can get sideline to sideline, but he's really see ball, get ball. And if you have two of those guys together, it does kind of really put you at a disadvantage in a lot of situational football that the other team wants to play. When you have Terrell Bernard, you can have him kind of doing his thing, and then Dorian Williams, it's a little bit easier to allow him to kind of play his game a little bit more free. So I do think that it's a big boost if they get Terrell Bernard back, and I think it is trending, you know, that way. Also in the middle of the field, though, no Taylor Rapp. We know that. It's going to be really interesting, guys. I'm excited to see Cole Bishop in his first NFL start.
Me too.
Right? I mean, we could learn a lot from Cole Bishop. And, Mike, this game, depending on his performance, could say something about how much time he gets going forward, to be honest.
Yeah. Earlier, I'm asking about the two new injuries, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe that's the biggest one because of Nico Collins' highlights flashing in my head. And is this guy ready for this particular test? It's not like you're saying, I agree, the worst matchup for the Bills for who they are. But there is big play potential. Houston doesn't seem to really care about how many safeties, if your safeties are in the parking lot or not. Like they're gonna go for it, which makes me like them. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. I don't mean so much in this game. I just, you know, in general. Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Back to Samuel for a minute. What is your explanation for how little he's produced? It's two catches for 12 yards on average per game, so 8 for 48. Is it injury related? Is it just that they don't have room for what else they're doing? Is it defensible that he hasn't played more or done more?
I don't have a great explanation. I can only guess. Let me rephrase that even. I don't know the explanation. I'm wondering as well. And my guess is that the injury could have some sort of impact, but he's not been on the injury report. So that means that he's not even seemed like he's fine there.
Yep.
So the only thing I can go to is opportunity. And he's not been on the field all that much, snap count-wise. So if you're not on the field, you're not going to get as much opportunity. I really don't know, guys. I don't know exactly what's going on there. Defensible? No, I think that's the two things that I can't kind of wrap my head around with what has happened here for the first few weeks are, number one, why hasn't Curtis Samuel played more? Why hasn't he been more productive? I was really excited about that free agent signing. I think he is a really good football player, and he could help this offense. I do think this week is going to be a week where he needs to be that. He needs to be a good football player who helps this offense. The other one is Mike Edwards and the fact that he can't even get a jersey now. I mean, now, obviously, I would think this week might be different because Taylor Rapp is out. Mike Edwards, Sean McDermott said they signed him to be a starter. he's inactive. He's a healthy scratch. So those are two, to me, free agents who, if you had asked me, like, which free agents could make the most impact, I think on each side of the ball, I would have said probably, you know, Curtis Samuel and Mike Edwards. And yet here, either of them are not really doing much at all. And in Edwards' case, he's not even playing.
Seeing as how he's going to be in the crosshairs here come Sunday, Sal, how about just a little refresher on what and who exactly Cole Bishop is? Like, what are his strong traits? What are the things to maybe watch out for? Like, how can he be manipulated or exploited by Houston?
Well, listen, they're going to try to play games with him and trick him or fool him, right? I mean, he's a young safety. He's getting his first start in the NFL. There's no doubt about that. This is a guy that is not afraid of contact. He's going to come downhill. He's going to hit you. His biggest advantage, I think, coming in from the standpoint of what I just said about trying to confuse, though, is he played in a complex offense defense at Utah. That was, you know, when he came out, a lot of people wondered, like, well, can he handle the Bills' scheme? He handled a very tough scheme at Utah. And I think that has probably been good for him to kind of get in here now and probably understand some concept he has seen before, he's learned before in some capacity. But it's going to be a different game. They're going to play games with him. He's a physical guy who can make plays athletically, obviously. I think he's kind of an all-around safety like that. He's more in the mold of a Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer than he would be maybe a Damar Hamlin. So I think that's really good. It's a kind of that safety that they've liked to have. But I do think because he's young that he's going to get tested early. He's going to get tested with confusion and to see if they can put him in a bind to try and go attack him.
So the big question, what do we get from Stephon Diggs? And I mean, like, before the game, are there handshakes? Is it chilly?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's cordial.
I would be stunned if it's not, Mike, to be honest with you. I mean, if it's not, then wow, like, okay, here we go, right? Like, yeah, I remember couple weeks ago before, you know, when the Bills played the Jags and Gabe Davis, and so the game was at 7:30, gates opened at 5:30 for fans. There was no fans in there, so it had to be 4:30, 5 o'clock, somewhere in that area, and there's Gabe on the field, and here comes Josh, and sure enough, you know, he just makes a beeline, walks right up to him. You know, they do the hand slap and bro hug and how's everything going? And Josh made a funny gesture to the cameras, like, get away, and kind of walked away playfully and came back to him. And it was all love, right? I mean, that's what they gave to each other, no doubt about it. Same thing with Mitch Morris. You wouldn't expect anything less there. I don't expect anything less with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen or a lot of other players, to be quite honest with you. It seems like it's been very cordial on both sides ever since he's gone. Both players have been asked a lot about, you know, that relationship, where that stands. Neither has said anything derogatory about the other team or the other players. It seems like everything's kind of been on script, whether that's just because you want to keep it on script or you fully, you know, have this unbelievable love for each other. Whatever it is, at least that's the way it's being played out here. And I don't expect any different on Sunday morning.
I can't believe I'm about to ask this, but like railroad signals are going off as I'm about to ask this. I think it's just such an asinine thing to ask. But when he greeted Davis, was there the special handshakes, the individual handshakes that he has with the guys on his team and that he would have had with Davis and Diggs? Or was it just a standard, you know, hey, good to see you, greeting? Because I think it would be a real power move by Allen if Diggs went in for the special handshake and Allen's like, you're not on my team anymore.
Ooh. Ooh.
Okay, so from what I remember, it was just the regular handshake. I don't think we all would have noticed if it was the the super secret deal that they did at practice all the time.
I saw it too.
No one had that on video.
I saw it too. Like, I was in the booth looking down on the field when these guys met, and it was just very friendly.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, that to me, not that it has to mean anything, but to me, like, I don't know if I would assume it would be that friendly Sunday. But, you know, I'm asking you if there'll be anything, and you're like, yeah, there'll be something.
I think so. I mean, there's a possibility. I guess, to me, it would probably, if there was anyone that says, I'm just not going to do that, I'm in game mode, that would be more on Stephon's side, because we've already seen this from the other side, and we know that, you know, the Bills and Josh Allen and Gabe Davis or anybody else, but I still would be pretty surprised if that wasn't the case, if we didn't see them get together, say hello, hey man, how's everything going, all right, good luck today, talk to you later.
You know, I tend to just sort of almost entirely dismiss motivation stuff in pro sports, you know, game to game, it necessarily implies that teams are unmotivated, relatively unmotivated for other games. They don't have like a personal grudge or some sort of revenge to enact. Like, oh, well, the Baltimore game, maybe the Bills just didn't care that much, which I just do not see sports that way. But I do want to just ask about the possibility or how it might manifest in this game with Diggs, mm-hmm. who is always so supercharged emotionally anyway. And if he, you know, can take that to a higher level, I don't know, like he's going to want to, and maybe you want to expect that. And then the Bills, maybe it's not the same for them playing against him. Just what might you think, how might you think this particular storyline matters?
I like this subject a lot. Go ahead, Sal.
I actually think, Mike, that it matters on both sides. When you just ended that with, not that it matters much for the Bills. No, I think there's people on the Bills that would really are going to relish, you know, an opportunity to go against him and maybe stop him. That would be my
thought. Stop him here. And also just outplay his team. Like, I think Allen, this is, like, I'm worried about Allen being too revved up. Because Diggs is the central figure in Allen is overrated. I think, right? Like he's the genesis of that to a large extent. Now he's gone. Let's see what Allen can do. And even though he's not playing on that side of the ball, I would think Allen would love. Of course, like Mike said, he'd always love to have a 350-yard, 4-touchdown game. I think in this spot, man, I don't want to say I'm expecting it, but geez, I would bet he's really fired up for this.
I wouldn't doubt it. I think part of the reason Josh Allen won AFC Offensive Player of the Month, though, is because he's been the opposite of that. He's been calm and collected, right? He threw the ball, obviously, the one against Baltimore, which was amazing. But really, he's been in control and under control. So you hope, like you said, well, like you don't get too hyped up, right, and become Josh Allen from the 2019 game down in Houston in the playoffs.
Right.
Nothing like that. I'm even talking about more from a defensive side. I mean, Christian Benford has been here 2 years covering Stephon Diggs at practice, and Taron Johnson has, and Rasul Douglas was here. Rasul Douglas is a pretty emotional guy. He can get into it. He had the finger wag after the Gabe Davis play, remember, you know, when they played a couple of weeks ago, right? I'll tell you guys, I mean, you know, you're always looking for an advantage, right? And Mike, you hit the nail on the head. He's super emotional. I guarantee you they're talking about ways to get under his skin. Like, yeah, if you do this or that, like, you can throw him off his game and get under his skin a little bit. He's going to get upset. He might bark at the sideline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It becomes a story for them. Let's make sure like that can happen. I'm expecting that. And then from Diggs' side, oh my gosh, yeah, of course he would love. I think actually, even not so much him personally, he would love it. I bet you the Texans want to get him a touchdown. Like
sure.
I think the Texans will do what they can, and they get in the red zone. It's like, okay, we got Stephon Diggs curling up at the goal line, hit him for a pass.
They'd
and
be
get 6 points.
To me stupid to not try to plug into him for this
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
Like I'm thinking of instances when he was with the Bills where Diggs would sort of like Marshawn Lynch would say, right? Like go through a you know what's face, right? Like Diggs, there was a few times the Bengal game even that ended when Hamlin got injured so severely as he did. Like the first possession of that game for the Bills, Diggs like went right at one of the cornerbacks. Like I'm not going out of bounds. I'm not trying to juke you. I am going through you all night.
Yeah.
And I would bet Diggs gets a chance to do that to Benford or Douglas or Cam Lewis or whomever. He is absolutely going to do it.
I would probably agree there. I would agree, and I think the opposite is true. I think if those guys have a chance to show them that they're here to play football, and you're not my teammate anymore, and I want to show that you know we can do this without you, and you're on the other side, and you're the enemy. I think that is also the case.
Brace yourselves for H-Town alternate uniforms. Oh. By the way, if you haven't seen this,
those are atrocious.
Kind of an old English H is the helmet. Like sort of a dark metallic blue look with red numbers. It's still their colors, but just a different look for the Texans.
And the Bills are wearing their all whites.
Yes. Makes sense.
Guaranteed win.
Bulldog loves the white pants, even after Labor Day. Sal, thank you. Have a nice time down there.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
I do think about the
Labor Day rules.
I do.
Very important.
I was supposed to play the guitar at a show in Zor Valley on Labor Day Sunday, and I thought,
if this show were 2 days later,
it's not Labor Day yet.
It's not Labor Day yet.
Here come the white pants. I'm bringing the white pants out to Zor Valley. All right. Anyway, Sal's appearance, by the way, with us brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
You guys ready for Stephon Diggs Sunday? Bills Texans, let us know what you expect. The Shakir and Oliver injuries. The Bills, again, have a list here of key men that they'll not have for their Week 5 game in Houston. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Friday continues. This is WGR. Contest time, 716-221-4WGR, 4947. Caller 5 wins a pair of tickets to see comedian Mr. Derek at Rob's Playhouse Theater tomorrow night. Or tomorrow, I'm not sure if it's at night. Mr. Derek was recently featured on the Joe Rogan Experience. He is one of the fastest rising comedians in the country. Here is your chance to win a pair of tickets. Visit robsplayhousetheater.com for details. I mean, there's a hockey game at 10 a.m., so...
Right, who knows? But yeah, I mean...
I insist that I saw a graphic last week for this upcoming Miami-Cal game that said 10 a.m., but it's 10 p.m.
Yes, or 10:30 even, yeah.
Or 10:30.
Yeah.
I insist that I saw a.m. because I immediately looked at it like, Why?
Miami is at Cal at 10 a.m. That's weird.
Yeah, is the game sort of at Cal, but not really? Like it's in Prince Edward Island, actually, or something? Why would they play at 10:30 in the morning in Pacific time? But it's not.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it was somebody's mistake, not mine. Because why would I have ever wondered?
I'll buy that. Yeah.
You see 10, it's going to be at night.
Yeah.
Of course, with the Sabres tomorrow.
Especially with one of the teams represented on the graphic being from California.
Yeah. I've stood on that field.
At Cal?
Yeah, yeah. Berkeley.
All right.
We were there, I don't know. Marshawn Lynch maybe was still on the team, or he'd just been drafted by the Bills somewhere in that time frame. And just driving around Berkeley for the first time in my life with my wife, and we got to the football stadium and just parked, and let's get out, look at it. But that, like, you know, kind of a, so to speak, a Zamboni entrance, you know, like a tractor entrance was wide open, and we just walked right through it and onto the field and took pictures from midfield.
I love when that happens. Like, there's nobody around. You're like, I don't know, should we do this? Well, let's just
go.
What's
the worst
that's going to happen? They say, get out of here? I mean, I don't know. They're probably not going to cuff you.
We will leave anyway.
Right.
So
right.
We're not looking to move in. We just want to stay at the 50 for a minute.
Do you remember me telling you about the experience I had that was similar to that? This will be quick. At Las Vegas Motor Speedway?
Yes, I do.
We were there. We're watching like dirt track. It's a whole comp. There's a drag strip and a smaller dirt track, and we're watching the dirt track racing on like the Friday or Saturday night that we were out there for the whole weekend for drag racing. And we were leaving to go get dinner, and there was like a gate was open, and then another gate was open, and then there was a tunnel onto the racetrack. And we drove. I wasn't driving. I was a passenger. We drove the rental car in there and like parked in the pits and got out and just stood there like nobody stopped us. We're on pit road in a, you know, whatever, a Dodge, Dodge Stratus probably, right? Is that the Will Ferrell Saturday Night Live car? Yeah, we're on pit road in a Dodge Stratus, rent a car. Looking around, there's nobody there. Should we go take a lap on the track? Came up, and we were like, no, definitely not. That would be pushing it. We're here. This is incredible. Let's all just take it in for a minute. I went and sat on the finish line and took some pictures, and then we got in the car and got out of there without trying to drive our Dodge Stratus through the banked curves of Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
That would have been a move.
Yeah. Not that they're super banked, but still, it's a racetrack. It was wild.
One more of these, the most recent one of these for me, is the football stadium at West Point. And I was there with my son last summer. And Ross Tucker had been talking about whether that was his favorite stadium, or I know he had done games there. It was at one point with us, kind of, I remember him sort of raving about it. And he and I, my son and I, are driving around the West Point campus, and got out, walked into the stadium, and the field had been removed. It was all just stones. But I know that from the opposite side from where we were, you can see out over the Hudson River from like the top levels of that stadium, if not all of it. And that's got to be pretty good.
That's why Ross raves about it. Like, the setting is just spectacular. I think I watched a game from there earlier this year because I was just cruising through the guide and I saw somebody at Army and I went, oh, I wonder if Ross. And it was some other dude doing the game. And that stadium is being overhauled. There was like a lot of construction. Like the view of the river was all just was cranes and like new bleachers and stuff, I think, getting built. But anyway, still pretty cool to see it like you did before all that.
They must be thriving.
Yeah, right.
Amazing. College football is actually, they're doing well. It seems just build new stadiums and upgrades. I tend to be very cynical about college football. I don't spend a lot of time sort of thinking negatively about it. I just have kind of lost touch with it, lost interest. And all the player movement, even it started with coaches doing the same thing, but all the player movement, it's just too much for me. I can't have that from college football. It's not a principle thing. I'm not objecting. It was hard enough with so many teams and conferences and like there's so much material. And now all the conferences are mixed up. All the players are playing for different teams every year. And I have to take a pass on that.
Yeah, I mean, how many times a game does someone describing the play say, you know, the catch by so-and-so who formerly was at Mississippi? Like, it's just like every guy is from some other college now, besides the college they're actually playing for then. That, you know, they don't do it all the time, but it happens a lot.
It happens a lot, and I don't know. It's a lot to digest. So we've talked about these Bills injuries here. Not insignificant what they've got to deal with. Joe Mixon will miss the game for Houston, and I think that's good for Houston. Because if they feel that running the ball is not as going to be as effective, I think that that's probably good for them. You know, of course, if there's a pass rush here and you get Bernard or Douglas or one of these guys who has the touch for it to come up with a takeaway or two, then, you know, you're probably fine.
Yeah.
If not, I think you're in tough.
I agree with the premise there. I was sort of rooting for Mixon, and I guess I'll assume to some extent he would have been less than 100% with the way the week was going. Like, if he'd missed Wednesday and gotten back Thursday limited, today limited, he's questionable, and he's going to go. Be like, okay, good. Like, you're probably not 100%. B, you got handed it, 30 times in the opener and scored 3 touchdowns. They're not doing it well. They're probably going to try to establish that. And I, especially off of what Baltimore did to the Bills last weekend, I would welcome that. I would rather have that. And, you know, even if the Bills give up 4.5 yards a carry, I would still feel like that's where I'd want to be. So without him there, I kind of doubt that they do that. I'm sort of with Sam. We had Sam Pettyanovich on earlier today. He said, like, it's, you know, 35-40 throws for Stroud. And that's what I think the recipe looks like to me without Mixon there.
Devontae Adams, want to weigh in on the tweet or the Instagram picture of Edgar Allan Poe? What are we doing with it? I need to know. I might see people this weekend who are going to ask me how to read into it, and I don't want to have to answer before talking to you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your faith in leaning on me in this matter.
Is he going to Baltimore?
I think he wants to go to Baltimore. That's what I would take that to mean. I don't know if he's going to Baltimore, but I felt like that was, hey, no one's saying Baltimore. I mean, you know, if he's paying attention, I'm hearing about, of course, the Jets. I'm hearing about the Saints because of Derek Carr. I've heard the Bills. I've heard the Steelers. Nobody's talking about the Ravens. I like purple. Here's a nice picture of Edgar Allan Poe. That's what I took.
I wonder if Adams is a fan
of the writer. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of us read those stories in school when we were kids, right? So maybe.
Pretty dark, right?
Telltale Heart.
Telltale Heart
is the one I really remember the most. I don't remember reading The Raven. It's possible that I did, but I don't remember it. But Telltale Heart is the one that always got me.
Yeah, like Adams tweeting that, or not tweeting, Instagram, like showing that picture, what does he know? You're saying he might not know anything. He just wants it.
Right.
That's his new crush,
right?
Of an idea, but does he know something that, like, it's not up to him?
It's possible he does know something.
I like the fit. I mean, Baltimore for me has made sense in this. They're a team that I include in consideration. Just even despite what they did to the Bills, they've lost 2 games, and they're not going to be able to do that to everybody. Just to have a weapon like that, and it doesn't contradict anything about who they are. Really, like, you want to have good receivers.
Sure.
They have Flowers, and that's still kind of it. With Andrews not catching passes anymore, maybe that's over. Maybe that's just on hold. But they could use him.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills could use him too, but for the Bills, it would do that other thing. It would contradict so much of what they've built and stood for, talked about this year. So that's why I don't expect – that's one reason why I don't expect them to make this move. But that would not be true of the Ravens or really all the other teams, you know. The Bills, it was just such a sea change. And an Adams trade, like we've talked about a couple times this week, would contradict kind of how they've talked and what they have done here with the roster. So that's why I don't see it.
Right. I've mentioned, I think, at one point this week that the timing of this Adams story coinciding with the Bills' visit to go see Diggs and the Houston Texans is impossible to miss. I mean, it's just it's interesting or some other word I can't think of right now. I think in a sidecar now with that is that Khalil Shakir, who of course is not Stephon Diggs, and no one is saying he's Stephon Diggs, but he has been their leading receiver here through four games and was my pick to be their leading receiver for the season. And so now he also was the only receiver on the team that had caught a pass from Josh Allen in a regular season game, discounting the tight ends and the running backs here, okay? So now, the only receiver who's ever caught a pass from Josh Allen in regular season games is not playing in the game where they're going to play the best wide receiver they had for the past four seasons. Tough one.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Football Friday. Picks at 6. We'll go around the league in a dash first after this break on WGR. Football Friday continues here on WGR. Bills and Texans, 1 o'clock Sunday. The Sabres play their second game of the season tomorrow morning, pregame at 9, and then 10 o'clock face-off against New Jersey. Revenge game for today's
I get them loss. Back. I get them back.
Levi?
100%.
Right?
I think, short of Lukanen, I mean, just shooting Roman candles out of his you-know-what today, you were going to get Levi anyway. It's not only back-to-back. It's back-to-back, and it's, you know, whatever, 5 hours earlier than the game was today, or four, whatever it is.
Three.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you. For some reason, I couldn't remember what time today's game started at.
You got into it, and I just felt like you wanted it.
I did. Thank you. Okay. I was stumbling around.
Okay.
So it's a quicker turnaround, so I'd be stunned if it's not Devin Levi.
I like the brown pads.
Yeah, me too. It's a good look.
Classic.
And look, I'm not going to – it's crazy. It's one game. You know, if Levi's looking for an opportunity, the door's cracked
a
little.
Here we go.
Lukanen did not look sharp to me. He was very sloppy. He was technically very loose. And that, to me, was the biggest thing that changed in his game last year was control, largely from strength. Like, he just was able to be where he needed to be more quickly because he was stronger, and you're just more in control. And I just thought he was really sloppy today.
So. I don't need a Lukanen step back year.
No.
They don't, and I don't, because it's just the mindless conversations about goalies and randomness that you have to have every single time when a guy who shows up with a good season and then he doesn't have the same season after that, and it's like, should not be the least bit surprising. Not say that, I'm not predicting it for Lukanen. The hope is that he did move up a level. He had a great season and can stay there. But, I mean, every time we have to have the same, not you and I, but the same conversation about goaltending. Like, it's not surprising. It's to be expected more so when you see that sort of variance. Around the league in a dash, brought to you by Dash's Markets, celebrating 100 years, shop the family of finer foods. I mean, I don't know what you want. We've got picks coming up. But there are just a slew of injuries around the league. Midweek stuff like we had with Oliver, but you know, in fantasy, you've just got tons of it. Kittle is back to questionable. He was out and then returned. Devin Singletary will miss for the Giants. That means Tyrann Tracy probably is their running back for that game if you need somebody to pick up.
And so will Malik Nabers, if you didn't catch that.
Nabers is out.
Yeah. Not even traveling.
Zamir White, I think, was a practice injury for the Raiders. He has not been good, but they've ruled him out, and Davante Adams. So their game in Denver, they won't have those guys. It's just so much. Richardson for the Colts, questionable. I don't know what I think that means. Could he play?
I guess he could, but he'll probably leave again hurt.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's what he does. I mean, I don't know. He goes into games healthy and leaves hurt. So he's going in hurt. Maybe he'll play the whole thing if he goes in hurt. He's already injured, so he can't get injured again. I don't know. That makes no sense.
There's probably a faction there that wants him to sit.
And Jonathan Taylor's already out for that.
Taylor is out. Yeah. That happened in the game last week. So that's Trey Sermon, I guess, who I think is bad. But maybe it won't matter. Indianapolis to Jacksonville.
How about a minute on primetime Kirk from last night? 500 yards. 500 yards. And thanks for coming, Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, you know.
You know what?
I planted my flag, do not start him.
Right.
I said, at least if he does stuff, you're going to be happy next week.
Yeah.
And now I'm just going to brace myself for 2 for 12 next week.
At least I didn't just take your advice. I'd already done it. Like, I'd already benched him. So I don't have any I wouldn't anyway, but I can't even pretend to have any animosity toward you. We decided that just independent of you and everything else. Just like, down with this guy.
I was relieved he didn't score.
Yeah.
Because then that's a really bad call.
Right.
If he goes 7 for 80 in a touchdown, that's a huge game. It's tight end this year. You hate to miss out on that. Whoever you're starting is almost definitely not giving you that. At least he didn't score, but good signs right away. Like the second play of the game.
Still 15 points, I think.
15 points PPR.
So that's pretty decent.
Cousins, first NFL quarterback in history to throw for 500 yards despite not throwing a single pass with the lead last night.
Wow.
They got ahead. But then the Bucs tied it.
He
never threw a pass with the Falcons ahead.
Right.
I was so happy. This happened whether you're, I mean, I don't know if it's whether betting, but just quickly, in fantasy, when it's just like sort of a slot machine game, it's everything's going well, I wanted that tying field goal so badly. I was so happy. Didn't have a side in the game, but I was so happy that the Falcons got one more shot. I was mad that they blew the previous series when they had the ball with three minutes left down three. Got the second chance, got the field goal, just so excited for overtime. I wanted that game to go all night. You know, I could have just, I could have stayed up all night watching that game had it kept going. First drive, it was over quickly, but great game. Picks after sports, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Friday. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.